Revelation chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Would you go those two places in your Bible to get started this morning? Revelation chapter number 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. These are a couple of introductory scriptures that are going to help us make our way into the sermon this morning. What we're going to do, Lord willing, is establish some very basic and fundamental Bible principles, and then we'll connect those principles to the series of studies that we've been going through on the Christian home. And hasn't that been enjoyable? I know that I've certainly appreciated and enjoyed the sermons that our pastor's given over these summer months on the Christian home, family life, and relationships. Really, it seems like the Holy Spirit was guiding the timing of this series of sermons. I am told that we have about a record number of babies on the way, in addition to several new little ones. And praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. Let's keep that nursery full. Let's keep the nursery workers stressed. Let's grow the church. Two legitimate means of church growth: spiritual birth, people getting saved, born again, part of the family of God, and then physical birth. I'm all for Christians having babies, and we're all for both of those means. Praise the Lord. You know, we really do need to be thankful for what God has given us. I think it's really easy for us to take it for granted, but we're not bragging. We're just thanking God for how good that He's been. It is really healthy for a church to have a really wide spectrum of ages and stages in life. We're so grateful to have so many young families and babies and toddlers and little ones. We're really grateful. We got a great group of teenagers and young people excited about serving the Lord. We've got some solid young adults who believe the Bible and just want to give their lives for Jesus. And we've got some seasoned, faithful, encouraging older saints. And we've got, you know, you might fall somewhere in between, but it's really healthy for a church to have all those different perspectives and all of those different ministries. It allows for things like Titus chapter 2, where the older are supposed to teach the younger, and the zeal of the younger doesn't take over, and the apathy that tends to creep in as you go through life, it doesn't overtake the zeal. It just really all balances out well, is what I'm trying to say, and give the Lord the glory. Thankful for the church that God has given us and for the church family that God has given us. And so hope that these messages have been a blessing over the summer months. Many of them might not address all of us directly in the particular stage of life, whatever it is that you find yourself in this morning. And today's sermon will be no different. It might not be specifically directly at you or for you, but we're going to read and study some principles from the Bible, and there'll be some truth somewhere that's going to have application to your life. So don't check out at any point during the sermon. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us find ourselves and get some application from the Scripture today. My objective in the next little while is to show you from the Bible a few different things. First of all, the purpose of your existence as an individual. We can find that in the Word of God, and we're going to read it and see it together. And then the purpose of our existence as a church. Why God put you here as an individual, why God established and instituted the local New Testament church, and then the purpose of our homes and of our families. And I believe, by the grace of God, we can tie all three of those together in the Word of God this morning, and that's what we'll attempt to do with the Lord's help. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to gather with one another in this place this morning, and we are grateful that you promised that your presence would be with us if we would gather in your name. And Lord, we are greatly in need of your help today. And God, you know the need of each heart, of each life, of each family. And Lord, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would minister truth through your word this morning and meet our need. God, help me to say what needs to be said, the way that it ought to be said, and a way that would be pleasing to you. And God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive the truth this morning. I pray that you'd be glorified, that you would help us, guide us, direct us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our belief that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is a final and complete revelation from God to man. Everything we need to know, God put it in the Bible. Everything God wanted us to know, He wrote it down in a book. And this book that we hold this morning, it has the answer to every question that needs to be answered. And the verses we're about to read, very simply and very clearly, answer the question as to the very purpose of our existence. And isn't it nice to know the meaning of life? Isn't it a blessing to be aware of the reason why God has put you here on the earth? Aren't you glad this morning you don't have to grope around in the darkness and wonder why you're here and what is the meaning of your life? You realize there are so many people who go through life with no connection to Scripture and no connection to the God of the Bible, and thereby have no clue as to something so basic and so fundamental as the reason why they exist.
Amen. True.
I'm glad God has given me the light of His Word so I don't have to dwell and abide and live in darkness. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, maybe you've heard this before, maybe it's the first time ever, but here's the answer to the question, why God put you here. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." They stopped teaching that in the schools, but it's still true in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that includes you, and that includes me. All of us here, every one of us here, is a unique creation of God. Some of us more unique than others. Every one of us is a special creation of God, maybe some a little more special than others. Every one of us was designed specifically and particularly the way that we were by God on purpose for a purpose. Thou hast created all things. You are not an accident. You are not the product of some evolutionary process. You did not come about by means of an explosion billions of years ago. Life did not evolve from some primordial soup. God created you. He meant to do it. He meant to do it the way that He did it. And there is a purpose for your life. Thou hast created all things, and here it is, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's why God created you, to please Him. That's why God created me, to please Him. Everyone that God made and everything that God made has the same stated purpose. We are here to glorify Him, to honor Him, to please Him, to bring Him pleasure. When God created you, His purpose and His design and His intention was for you and Him to enjoy a relationship with one another. If you've ever asked yourself, why am I here? There's the answer to the question. You don't have to wonder anymore. God created you for His purpose, for His pleasure, for His honor, for His glory. Now, your life will be fulfilled to the extent to which you attach your life to that purpose. Well, my life's just not very fulfilling. You're not fulfilling your purpose. I don't understand why I'm so frustrated. I don't understand why I'm so unhappy. I don't understand why I'm not enjoying life. Maybe you're not taking the right approach. Maybe you don't understand what your whole purpose is. You're here to please God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse number 31, here's what the Bible says. Whether therefore ye eat, we like to do that. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, you know that sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? That's pretty ordinary, isn't it? It's pretty mundane. That's pretty every day. You eat every day. Most of you certainly look like it. You drink every day. We do a lot of whatsoever every day. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, this applies to every aspect of life. What would seem to be the insignificant details are not insignificant when you understand your purpose. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 is a cross-reference. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, it's really helpful to go through life knowing why you have life. And the challenge for us every single day is to remember that and to act like we know why it is that we're here. And the basic, ordinary things that we do, to do it in line with the purpose that God has given us. If the purpose of our existence is to please the Lord, then this ought to be our primary goal in every aspect of our lives. To think and do and say what brings God the most honor, what brings God the most glory, what pleases Him the most. Very simple. Very clear from the Bible this morning. But this is why the Bible is so important. This is why we emphasize so strongly the authority of the Scripture. This is why we read the Bible, why we study the Bible, why we preach the Bible, why we teach the Bible, why we memorize the Bible. This is why we try our best to follow the Bible. Because if the purpose of my life is to please God, the only way to know what pleases God is to find out what He said is holy and just and right and good, and the best of my ability to fall in line with that. Okay? This is why we do what we do as a church. Because we understand that the purpose of our existence individually and collectively is to honor and glorify the Lord. This is why we do what we do the way that we do it. Because our primary objective, our ultimate goal is just to please God. Amen. To glorify Him, to do what He wants. We're not trying to build the biggest church. We're not trying to appeal to the most people. We're not trying to be the most popular. We're not here to make the members happy. We're here to please God. And so when we go and witness to the lost, we're going to evangelize the way God said to do it. And when we get together and we sing and we worship and we pray, we're going to do our best to do it the way that God said to do it. And we're to conduct our affairs. We're going to conduct our business according to the Bible as best we can, because we understand that what we're here for is to glorify the Lord. Amen. And so if you've seen the logo of the church, several years ago we didn't have a logo. Thought it'd be nice to have a logo, you know, a picture you could put on the tracks and the website, the YouTube channel and all the rest of that. And so in big letters, the Bible. in much smaller print, Baptist Church. Because what we think is very important is not the fact that we're Baptist, but the fact that we're trying to follow the Word of God.
Right.
And so big letters, the Bible, small letters, Baptist Church. And somewhere along the line, I'm not sure if it was when somebody was designing a logo or later on somebody asked, well, what's the tagline? Apparently with a logo, you're supposed to have a tagline, a little slogan kind of a thing. You understand what I'm talking about? A short statement that summarizes and captures your purpose and your identity, your mission and your philosophy. And we didn't have a logo. We certainly didn't have a tagline. But here's what we came up with. Maybe you've seen it. By the Word of God, for the glory of God. By the Word of God, for the glory of God. And I think that summarizes our approach to everything. We want to go by the Bible. And the reason we want to go by the Bible is because we understand we're just here to please God. And the only way to please God is to do things His way, for His pleasure, for His honor. Okay, next step in the introduction, come to Mark 16 and John 17. Mark 16 and John 17. We are working our way towards the message. Mark 16. And John 17. Mark 16, Christ speaking to His followers right before He ascends to God's right hand. That's verse number 19 and verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We call this the Great Commission. And Christ's last command is supposed to be our first priority. His final words to His followers before He left this earth, go tell everyone what I've done for you and what I can do for them. Take the good news to the ends of the earth. Preach the gospel to every creature. In John 17, it's a prayer that Christ prayed the night that He was crucified. He's preparing His disciples here in this passage. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as Thou hast sent me, Christ praying to the Father, as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Okay, so our purpose for existence as individuals, to please God, to glorify God, to honor God. Collectively, our purpose as a church, it falls under the same heading. And according to Jesus in John 17, and according to Jesus in Mark 16, one of the primary ways in which we can glorify and honor God and do what He wants and fulfill our purpose here as a church is spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, fulfilling the Great Commission, making sure that everyone, everywhere, hears the good news of the saving grace of God. Because everyone who is created for God's pleasure. And God said in Ezekiel 33:11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God created no one for the purpose of damnation or reprobation or condemnation. God's desire, God's will, what pleases God. He wants everyone to be saved.
Amen.
And come to the knowledge of the truth. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And Jesus Christ laid down His life. He suffered and He bled and He died on Calvary's cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. And anyone who wants to be saved can be saved by the grace of God. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for everybody. Everybody can be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. But in order for them to be saved, somebody has to tell them how. Romans chapter 10. How are they going to call on Him whom they have not believed? How are they going to believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear if we don't go and preach? And so if you've been here any length of time at all, you may have noticed that we place a really heavy emphasis on evangelism, on proclaiming the gospel, on spreading the good news here at home and around the world. Why is that? Well, because a church that isn't centered on the Great Commission has forfeited its very reason for existence. And by the grace of God, reaching the world with the gospel will always be at the very top of our priority list. Because it's our purpose as a church. It is one of the main primary means whereby we can glorify God. We've got to let sinners know how they can be saved. Jesus died so they could be saved. He wants them to be saved. It pleases Him when they get saved. But in order to get saved, somebody's going to have to tell them. Somebody's going to have to challenge them. Somebody's going to have to invite them. And we need to make our lives about that purpose. We're building Outback. What a blessing. The block way up. It's got one more level to go. We've got some brown grass out in the front. Can't park on it yet. We might be able to play on it for VBS. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. We're building a building. We need a building. Please, please pray that God will keep providing what we need for the building. But by the grace of God, that'll never be more important than preaching the gospel. By the grace of God, we won't get distracted by lesser things and lose our focus on the primary thing. And that is reaching souls with the saving grace of God. Okay? So our purpose, the Great Commission is for us as a church collectively. But listen, the only way that the Great Commission will be our focus collectively as a church is if it becomes our focus individually as members of the church. We're going to try our best to set the direction. We're going to try our best to have the right emphasis, but it's up to every one of us to attach our lives to this purpose. The Great Commission is not just binding on the church collectively. The Great Commission is binding on every saved person individually. Are you saved this morning? Amen. You headed to heaven this morning? God, your Father this morning? Listen, He wants you to be personally involved in spreading the gospel. He wants you involved here. He wants you involved around the world. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When's the last time you even thought about people around the world needing to be saved? What are you doing about it? How is your life attached to that? Are you fulfilling the purpose for which God saved you? God did not save you to take you to heaven. He'd have taken you when you got saved. He left you here because He wants others saved, and He's got to use you for that purpose. Now, all of us, here's what all of us can do. All of us can be a witness right where we are. And we need to do that. All of us can pray. And we need to do that. And then you've got an option. Those are not optional. Those are mandatory. Witness and pray. This one's optional. You can either go or you can send. Ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. You're either going to one of those places, you're going to help somebody else get there. If your life is going to fulfill its purpose, if your life is going to be attached to the Great Commission. Okay? And so the question you might be wondering at this point of the sermon is, what does all this have to do with family life? What does all this have to do with a Christian home? And I'm glad you asked the question, because that is the message. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. I'll give you the thesis statement, and then we'll look at some scriptures together, see if the Lord will drive this point home in our hearts. Psalm 127. So, here's what we've seen. We exist to glorify God. Really, really clear in the Bible. We glorify God as a church by honoring the Scripture and by prioritizing the Great Commission. Okay? So that covers our purpose as individuals, our purpose as a church. But what about God's purpose for our homes? How does this all tie together? And I believe in the Bible what we'll see is that we glorify God in our homes by preparing our children to center their lives on the Great Commission. By preparing our children to attach their lives to the Great Commission. Psalm 127, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." What do we see in verse 1? Listen, do your best, but ultimately at the end of the day, every one of us is fully dependent on the grace of God. That applies to all of life, doesn't it? Salvation, it's the grace of God. Provision, it's the grace of God. Serving the Lord, it's the grace of God. Do your best, but the Lord better be in it. Because we're helpless and hopeless without Him. Verse number 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early." I'd be tempted to make that my life verse, except for the next phrase, "to sit up late." Some people, morning birds. Some people, night owls. Some people like to rise up early. Some people like to sit up late. Some people like to eat the bread of sorrows. Verse number 2, "For so He giveth His beloved sleep." Verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I couldn't help notice this. I couldn't help but mention this. I think anyone who has had children probably finds it a bit ironic that verse number 2 is about God giving us sleep and verse number 3 is about God giving us children, because He never gives them at the same time. There is absolutely no connection between those two gifts of God. But the point of the passage is very clear. The principle here is unmistakable. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I would say in life on the earth, there probably really is nothing like being a parent. There's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing more scary and frightening. There's nothing more challenging. There is no way to describe the feeling of love and joy that overwhelms you the moment that that baby enters into the world. When Lauren had Riley, I'm not an emotional person, but I was crying so hard like a baby. The nurses were laughing at me. Just all that emotion, just all out at one time. I cannot think of any higher honor than being entrusted by God with a little life. And I cannot think of any greater responsibility than being entrusted by God with this precious little life. And parents, it is so important for us to remember the words of verse number 3. The fruit of the womb is His. The fruit of the womb is His. We are not owners of anything. We're stewards of everything, and that includes our family. It includes our children. I am not a master. You are not a master. We are caretakers of everything that God has blessed us with. You have a son, you have a daughter, you've been blessed with this privilege and opportunity to raise and to train those children that God has given you, but ultimately they're not yours, they're His. The fruit of the womb is His. And God created that life. And He has a purpose for that life. And my job as a dad, my job in my home, my job with my family is to make sure those children God has blessed me with are attached to His purpose for their life. A lot of parents make the mistake of attempting to live vicariously through their children. You know what I'm talking about? I want my son, I want my daughter to be everything that I wish that I was, to experience everything that I'd hoped to experience. Mom, God did not give you that little girl so that you could live your life through her. She's got a life that God gave her, and He has a specific purpose for it. And Dad, God did not give you that son so that you could make him everything that you had always hoped to be. And our job as parents is not to help these precious little ones achieve their goals and dreams and ambitions and become whatever it is they want to be. I know that's what Disney told you, but it's not true. It's not Bible. The purpose of life is to glorify God. The purpose of our church is to glorify God. The purpose of witnessing is to glorify God. The purpose of missions is to glorify God. And the purpose of the home, the purpose of the family, the purpose of children is to glorify God. Look at verse number 4 in the passage. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children, heirs of the Lord, for the womb, His reward, they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. But guess what? I don't think any of us are the mighty man in the verse. I think that we like to think that the mighty man is us. The mighty man is the young man with children and a quiver full of arrows. Is it not more accurate to read the mighty man as the Lord? I think so. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. I think that as parents, God has hired us to form and to fashion some arrows that He can use for His honor, for His glory, for His purpose. Verse number 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of it. He doesn't have any sleep, but he's happy. Now look at this. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They, the arrows, the children, the fruit of the womb. Look at what God wants them to be able to do. Psalm 127:5 sounds to me like Jude 1:3, earnestly contending for the faith. And so here's the question I have to ask myself, here's the question I have to ask you this morning. Are we raising children who are equipped to carry out the Great Commission and to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth? Are we raising children with an expectation that they become engaged in fulfilling the Great Commission. I was reading this passage, another passage, and the thought just jumped off the page to me. Listen, the Great Commission starts at home. The Great Commission starts at home. Part of reaching the world with the gospel is reaching our children with the gospel and preparing them to invest their lives in that purpose. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you would. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Why did God give me life so I can glorify Him? Why did God institute the church so we can reach the world with the gospel? Why did God give me children? The very same purpose. The very same reason. We really need to keep this all in proper focus. 1 Chronicles 29 is a great chapter. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Furthermore, David the king said in all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." David had the right perspective. This temple is not about Israel. This temple is not about David. This temple is not about Solomon. This temple is about the Lord. And Solomon, my son, has been chosen by God to build the temple. He's got a very specific purpose for his life. Verse 2, David said, "Now I've prepared with all my might for the house of God." Verse number 3, "I have set my affection to the house of my God." Verse number 6, other people got involved. The chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work. They offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. In verse number 9, the people rejoiced because they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. We've got David, we've got all the congregation, and we're building this house for God, and it's all for His honor and for His glory and for His praise. And he blessed the people in verse number 10. In verse number 14, David speaking, "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" Look at what he understood. "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." God, I didn't give to you what was mine. I just gave to you what was yours. And that's the approach that we need to take to our giving, to our lives. We don't own it. It's God's. What a privilege, what a blessing to give back of what He's given to us. Because it's not that 10% belongs to God. All of it belongs to God. And what a blessing to be able to give. And be able to invest in something with eternal significance. "We were strangers," verse number 15, "O Lord our God, all this store," verse 16, "we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name, cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." You see the perspective. And then the result of that is in verse 19. Look with me, 1 Chronicles 29:19. "And given to Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision." For which I have made provision. Don't miss the application here. God had a purpose for Solomon's life. God had a calling on Solomon's life. God had something for Solomon to do that David couldn't do, but Solomon would do. But here's what David made up his mind that he would do. Having recognized what God has in store for his son, he spent the rest of his life preparing so that Solomon might accomplish what God had given him to do. David helped Solomon prepare himself for the job that God had given him. David made sure that his life went into attaching Solomon to the purpose God had given him. David made provision for what his son was to do for God. And I think that's a good summary of our responsibility as parents. I think this is a perspective that we need to make sure that we adopt when God blesses us with children. Lord, they're yours. I'm giving you what's yours. I'm going to do my best to help this child prepare for whatever job you have for them to do. Because every one of these precious babies, the new ones, the ones on the way, the ones who've grown up just a little bit, listen, they're created by God. He's got something in mind for them. And we've got a lot of roles and responsibilities and jobs as duties as parents. I mean, you've got to feed them, and you've got to clothe them, and you've got to keep them alive. And some days that takes just about all the energy that you have. And it's your job to educate them. Make sure they learn what they need to know. And it's your job to instill character in them and make sure they're prepared for the life that's to come. It's your job to train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your job to make sure they're ready to be successful and productive citizens. But listen, it's a whole lot more than just that, isn't it? Because if we do all that, and we don't prepare them to attach their lives to whatever God has for them, because whatever God might have for them in the way of career, in the way of life path, and whatever they choose to do, whatever it is, every one of us who is saved has to attach that to reaching the world with the gospel. And I think I need to be like David, and I need to make provision for whatever it is God wants my children to do for Him. And I've got to get centered right there. I've got to stay focused right there. Some of you grew up in a different type of church, maybe a Catholic church, maybe a Protestant church of some time. Some of you were baptized when you were infants. And maybe your parents didn't really know any better. They were trying to do something good and something for God. And as a baby, you were taken to church and they either poured some water on you, sprinkled water. Maybe they just dunked you right in. I've seen some of those. Right? We don't do that here because it's not biblical. In the Bible, believers get baptized and babies aren't able to exercise that faith in Jesus Christ. So baptism is for believers, not for babies. What Baptists sometimes do is a baby dedication. You ever seen one of those? It'd bring the precious little child maybe up to the platform at the end of a service, and the pastor prays, and maybe they get a little Bible with their name on it. It's a nice thing. Now, the New Testament doesn't say you have to do it. The New Testament doesn't say you can't do it. We haven't done one in a long time. If you want to do it, we'd be happy to do it. But I've just got a question. Is that just a service or is it for real? Is it just a chance to get dressed up and snap some nice photos? Or are we really serious about that? We tend to criticize Catholicism and all of its pageantry, and rightly so, but isn't it just as bad if that's just a religious ceremony with no real meaning? And here's the challenge, and I understand this isn't directly at everyone here this morning, but it's directly at a lot of you this morning. Here's our challenge. Why don't we genuinely get on our face before God and really dedicate our families, our children, our little ones to the honor and glory of God? Lord, this arrow is yours. Send it where you want it. Use it however you think is best. Let this arrow accomplish your purpose. Listen, not all of these kids need to be missionaries. We can't make them all be missionaries, but some of them ought to be. And we ought to be equipping them if that's how God wants to use them. Man, it's summertime. Kids are going to youth camp and youth conferences and hearing preaching and making decisions. And I wonder how many of them go home on fire for God and not long after they walk in the door get a bucket of ice water dumped on top of it. You know what I'm talking about. Because mom's got her idea. And dad's got his idea of what this family life is going to look like. Why don't we just ask God what He wants it to look like? Let's keep the main thing in our church. Let's keep the main thing at home. Let's center everything on what it ought to be centered on. I'm so thankful I went to those meetings as a young person and gave my life to the Lord, surrendered the will of God, and I didn't have to be afraid of what my parents would think. Mom, Dad, your example, your testimony, your approach, is it going to be a help or a hindrance into God accomplishing His purpose through their lives? You know, Hannah had this right, didn't she? She prayed. For this child I prayed. And God gave her the son that she asked for. And what did she do? She turned right around and gave him right back to God. She said, I have lent him unto the Lord. And the opposite is really true. God lent the child to her. But she did the right thing. And guess what it meant? It meant she had to be separated from him. As a child. And I don't think we're asking that of anybody. But what about letting go once God wants to send them somewhere as an adult? What about letting that arrow fly where God needs it to be? Purpose of our life, glorifying God. Purpose of our church, Great Commission. Purpose of our home, right in line with that. And let's make sure our lives, our church, our homes are fulfilling their purpose. Amen. Lord, thank you, God, this morning for this truth, and God, for the opportunity to do something worthwhile with the life that you have given us. And Lord, we're certainly thankful for the children that you have blessed us with. And God, we want to be willing for you to accomplish your purpose through their lives. Lord, help us to make provision for it. Help us in no way to hinder it. Lord, bless these little ones. Bless these moms and dads. Bless these babies on the way. Lord, we're thankful for a full nursery. We're thankful for a full church. But we, God, there are so many places around the world that just need the gospel, that just need to hear about Jesus. Help us, Lord, to fit all these pieces together for your honor, your glory. We love you in Jesus' name, and amen.